Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the second book of the Epistle of Paul to the Romans. Romans chapter 2. Let us sing from Psalter 186, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. And though I am poor and sorrowful, hear thou, O God, my cry, and let thy salvation come to me, and lift me up on high. 1, 2, 3, and 5 of Psalter 186.
Before we read from God's holy word, we wish to read our 12 undoubted, 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Romans 2. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, and forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, for circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, Shall not uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, thou art very great. Thou dwellest in thy high and holy place, which we as finite creatures cannot comprehend. Thou sittest in thy glory, and thou art rightly lifted up, honored and praised by all that may be with thee, and also by beginning by those in whom thou hast begun here below. And thou knowest the heart of each and every one of us. And when we are upon the face of this earth, then we have heard out of thy word that there is coming a day that the secrets of men will be judged by thee through thy Son, Jesus Christ. There shall be no respect of persons with thee. And when we have come up unto thy house, and when we have been brought up under thy truth, then we shall be judged also with those who have never heard thy word. And then there shall be one judgment unto all. It shall be before thy holy word of truth and thy law, which there is not one that shall escape from. And then there are those that have, that may know it by that law within themselves, as we have heard. And then there is ourselves, who have been instructed in it all our life long, are confident that we are an instructor of others, of the blind, of the ignorant, and thou knowest all our hearts, O Lord, secrets, secrets that are within the heart of men. Because what is external that is before the face of one another and of thee, but thou seest the inmost recesses of our hearts also, so that thou art knowledgeable of all our hypocrisy, of that which is but a face. Oh, that thou may remember us, and that thou would take us by heart and by hand, and that thou may open unto us thy holy word of truth, and that we may come to know ourselves and the light of thy holy countenance, and that we may come to abhor ourselves before thee while we are still in a day of grace and not standing before thy great judgment seat. When we shall stand in our nakedness, oh, that thou may remember us, and wilt thou open that word, open thou our hearts, and show to us our guilt and all our corruption and our pollution, oh, that we may receive not only the knowledge of our guilt, but also that burden upon our back, out of love for thee, that we would turn therefrom with sorrow. Wilt thou work that compunction in our hearts, that we may weep tears of sorrow within, not necessarily before men, but oh, may it be even within the inmost recesses of our hearts. Oh, that thou may lead us unto that only way of deliverance. For we can seek it in ourselves, but we shall not find it within ourselves. It is a flesh that has become weak because of sin. Then it is so necessary that we come to an end of ourselves, that we are brought to see the hopelessness, that we are brought to acknowledge our death, our spiritual death, that it is from our side become so impossible, and that it is with us a lost case before thee. Oh, that thou may work this in the heart of each and every one of us, that we may be taken off of those false foundations, those sandy grounds upon which we are building by nature, which when the flood comes shall be completely washed away. And then what shall it be for us in that day? A great surprise. Oh, that thou may undeceive us in a day of grace, and that thou may draw us, and that thou may reveal unto us thy only begotten Son, in whom thou art well pleased, who has accomplished everything that thou hast demanded of him for the sake of his church, who could declare that he was without sin, who could declare that he has finished the work that thou gavest him to do, and who could demand also that thou give unto him that reward that thou hast promised him already in that eternal council of peace. Lord, that thou may grant unto him that seed, and may it be also from among us young and old, that there may also be those among us who are of that number of that 144,000 that must be brought in. Lord, we each have a soul traveling to that great eternity. It shall be for well, or it shall be for woe, that thy word is coming to our ears and unto our minds. Oh, take away then the carelessness of our hearts, and wilt thou cause us to receive no rest until that we may receive that rest upon that solid rock. Wilt thou instruct thy children more and more in that way? Oh, that thou would deliver them from ways of backsliding, and that thou may grant them more and more instruction in the knowledge of self and in the knowledge of thee, that thou may remember those who stand afar off. Lord, thou knowest also their place. Thou knowest the desires that thou hast placed within their hearts. Oh, then they cannot see that it is from thee. And then there are so often so many questions within. But then there is also a longing, oh, that thou may fulfill it. And wilt thou give that the children that are brought to the birth may that they may receive strength to bring forth, that thou may also open the understandings and the hearts, and that thou would open the mouth in the glory and the honor of thee. And when a man may have his eyes open to see the way, and when faith may receive it by even a little grasp, then their heart shall leap for joy, And then by moments those mouths also may go open, Lord. O Thou that dwellest in the heavens. And then it is a gift of Thee, Thou sayest it in Thy holy word. That cannot come from us, but we wait upon Thee. Oh, we look unto Thee that Thou would do it for us and for our dear children. Because the time, Lord, that is hastening away. And Thou knowest our carelessness and our foolishness in the midst of this world. We go on in it except Thou sayest so far and no further. Except Thou stoppest us and leadest us unto Thee. And then there is no desire for Thee. Except that Thou cuttest us off from every other desire. And that Thou openest our eyes for Thyself. Oh, then Thou becomest white and ruddy. And then Thou becomest the chief among the 10,000. And then Thy name that is glorified by beginnings already here below. That we learn to hallow Thy great name. O Lord, could it please Thee to do so amongst young and old in our midst? O that it may be also from the mouths of sucklings of children, and that Thou hast ordained praise, and that it may be heard also amongst us in the coming time. Look upon all those that have special needs, all the afflicted, all the sick, all those that mourn. Those that have serious diseases, relations also among us. Lord, Thou knowest their places. And Thou knowest the treatments. Thou knowest the surgeries. Thou knowest all that must take place for the body. The weakness thereof. Oh, that Thou may drive, that Thou may draw. And that Thou may bring unto Thy throne of grace through all the ways of providence. And that they may be used also and by Thy power as a little instrument in Thy hand to draw the souls to Thee. And look upon all our children, our young people. Remember our school, the teachers, administrators, the school board, the bus drivers, all those that are connected thereto. And wilt Thou supply day by day? And wilt Thou instruct our youth and our children also educated in homes or in other places, also institutions, those higher institutions of learning. And wilt Thou keep from the wiles of the devil. And when Satan will seek to draw them in every way, oh, that Thou may give them also a place. That they may seek that Thy word may be a light upon their path and a lamp unto their feet. Or that they may need Thee in every decision that they must make in their young life, which often have such far-reaching consequences for this life. Or that Thou would grant our young people also that they may receive husbands and wives also within the church. That they may seek to be bound unto those who may believe that same truth which they may be brought up in. And that Thou may keep from going astray. And that there would be a mixture. Which would be to the detriment of church and family. Lord, that Thou may Thyself watch over young and old together. Parents, help us in all the duties of the parental home. And wilt Thou supply for fathers in supporting families, for mothers in the homes. Remember all that are not married. Remember all those that are widows, widowers, orphans, all those that mourn. Wilt Thou look upon all those over the length and breadth of this whole world that are in misery, that are in need, that are in war-torn countries, where there is so much fear, where there is persecution. Oh, that Thou may bring them also to cry unto Thee and to know something of Thy power And wilt thou give to stand firm in thy truth? And wilt thou look upon our nations? Oh, that thou would draw us back again to thy word and to thy testimony. And wilt thou forgive all the sins of our nations? And wilt thou not deal with us after our sin, but wilt thou draw us again, O Lord? And turn us again that we may be turned. And wilt thou look on us in this hour? And when we are called once again to bring a little portion of thy word, of that prayer that thou hast instructed thy people to pray, O Lord, who is sufficient for these things? For it is a holy prayer. Then it is that which is sanctified by Thee. It is taught by Thee. And then we need to be led into those truths. Oh, that Thou may help us then in this hour. That we may be able to bring forth things new and old out of Thy law. And that Thou may instruct us all together. Forgive Thou all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 236, all stanzas. By all whom Thou hast made, be praise and worship paid through earth abroad. Thy name be glorified. There is none great beside, matchless. Thy works abide, for Thou art God. We announced the seniors' morning has been postponed this month until the 27th. The Lord willing, there will be a consistory meeting this coming Wednesday, January the 14th at 7:30 p.m. And the last collection is for the Calgary loan repayment. 236 all stanzas. Thank you. beloved congregation. We read that Abraham was given strength by the Lord that he may recover all of the goods of the king of Sodom. And upon returning, that king did offer to him that he would receive all those goods, and that the persons he may take to himself, but all the goods, they would go to Abraham. What do you think, children? That must also have been a lot of goods, because they were riches that were desired by that enemy, and they were stolen by that enemy. And of course, Abraham, he had in a natural way a right, because indeed he had his own expenditures. And when he has gone out with his men to deliver them. And thus, humanly speaking, that would not have been a wrong thing, and that Abraham had received that gift. And yet Abraham said, I will not receive of thee from a thread to a shoe latchet. And why not? That had all to do with the honor of the name of the Lord. And then within ourselves, with our covetous hearts, then we can understand that it was so necessary that grace was not only planted, but that that grace was so in exercise in that moment. We read the same thing of the prophet Elisha. When he has delivered Naaman the Syrian, and then the goods of this world are set before him, but it was now for the honor of the name of the Lord, that he in those circumstances has rejected all that glory. Thus, we read of Moses, when the Lord says to him that he will make of him a great nation, then Moses is also rejecting that glory. And when he is asking the Lord, what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And so we see that desire, and that the Lord is planting in the hearts of his children. And that may by moments, because we know that is so often that is not an exercise, but by moments it may be an exercise. And the Lord is instructing his church, when it is not in exercise, that they should pray for it. That we find in Lord's Day 47, in question 122, concerning the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. Question 122 of Lord's Day 47. Which is the first petition? Answer, hallowed be thy name. That is, grant us first rightly to know thee, and to sanctify, glorify, and praise thee in all thy works, in which thy power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed, and further also that we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. So far, our Lord's Day, which speaks of the petition concerning the hallowing of the name of God. First, a petition for the right knowledge of God. Grant us first rightly to know thee. Second, a petition for the right sanctification of his name, and to sanctify, glorify, and praise thee in all thy works, in which thy power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed. Last, a petition for the right ordering of our lives, and further also, that we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. Petition for the concerning the hallowing of the name of God. First, a petition for the right knowledge of God. Second, a petition for the right sanctification of his name. And third, a petition for the right ordering of our lives. Hallowed be thy name, that is, grant us first rightly to know thee. Thus, a petition for knowledge. Knowledge that is part, we understand, of the image of God. That is knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. And we have learned from our childhood that is that image, and that we have lost in our deep fall. Thus, we have lost knowledge. Thus, our understanding that has become darkened. What is now that knowledge that we have lost? Because we see so much knowledge that man he has in this world, but we also see that man has lost a certain knowledge, that he has lost the knowledge of God, that he has lost the knowledge of the being, of the essence of God, and that he has lost the knowledge of the attributes of God, that he has lost the knowledge of the majesty of God, and so on. Thus, that knowledge of God, how evident in our whole society, that man, he has lost that image of God, and that part of that image of God that is consisting of the knowledge of him. By nature, no impression that we have lost that knowledge, no desire that we may receive such a knowledge again. But it is by grace that the Lord is giving to a man the knowledge of his ignorance. Thus, that is a mystery. He receives the knowledge of his ignorance, that he has lost the knowledge of God, and that is becoming to him a burden. Thus, he desires, boys and girls, to know the Lord again. You know your mother, you know your father. Then the Lord also created us to know him. And if the Lord gives to you a new heart, that is what you pray for. If the Lord gives to you a new heart, what will happen in that heart? Well, then you will begin to love the Lord again. And then you will begin to desire that you may also know the Lord again. Because the Apostle John, he says, "This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. We go, young people, maybe to a higher education, and you desire to know many things. Also, if you are not going to higher education, you still desire to know so many things in this world. But now we ask you, is there in your heart ever a desire that you may come to know the Lord again? You say, that is never in my heart. Then you may know your death. Then you may know that you are dead. And you may ask the Lord, wilt thou make me alive? Wilt thou give me a desire that I also may know thee again? Solomon, he was given the most wisdom of any man in this world. And we can read that he desired that all men would know that the Lord, he is God. Is it possible to know him? Because there are people, they say it is impossible that we may come to know God. And there is some truth to that. That is, that we can never come to an understanding of him because we are finite creatures, children. If you would try to understand a very large number like 1 million or 1 billion or a trillion, a very large number, that is numbers, they are so large, the larger they become, the less we can understand them. And then if you try to understand that word that is infinite, that means that it goes on and on and on, and sit and think about it a little while, and you say, yeah, how can I understand that? Because I am just a finite creature. I am a creature that has just time here on the earth. But our soul, that is also infinite. Thus, it behooves us to think about those things also that are infinite. We cannot completely understand who that God is. And yet, that does not mean that man cannot come to know God. Because we were created in that knowledge. Thus, if man was created in that knowledge, then it is possible that the Lord is giving to him over against the animals, that he is giving to him again, that he may receive that knowledge. How do we come to receive the knowledge of God? Well, if we will go to the very first question of Reverend Helen Brooks' catechism book, then that is asking, whence knowest thou that there is a God? And so our children learn that that is a twofold way, that is from nature and from the Holy Scriptures. So it is not all from the Holy Scriptures, no, but it is also from nature. We call it sometimes the book of nature. And in that book of nature, then we may learn something of God, and especially about the existence of God, that he is. Thus, all we need to do is be. All we need to do is exist. All we need to do is look around us at the whole creation. And if we wish to deny the existence of God, then it must be a purposeful thing. Because that existence of God in the creation is self-evident. That is the book of nature. And we can see certain things also that are shining in that nature concerning God, like the wisdom of God. And when we see the orderliness of nature, then we know something of a God Himself who is its creator. Thus we have the book of nature. And then that second question of Reverend Hallenbrook is speaking about that book of nature, and it is asking for a further division. Thus, it speaks about an external way that we can learn the knowledge of God, but also in an internal way. Thus, we see it about us, but there is also evidence within us. Evidence within the heart of men. We call that the innate knowledge that there is a God that is in every person. In the book of Revelation, then it is speaking about the books being opened, and that one of those books that will be opened on that great judgment day is the book of the conscience of man. And it is that conscience that is within each and every one of us that is saying something about God. Why? Because, boys and girls, when you do that which is evil, when you do that which is wrong, then immediately in your conscience there is what? There is guilt. Thus, how does that come there? That is in all men. How does that come there? That is not what just father and mother put in there. No, that is what is put in there by the Lord, our Creator. Thus, we may know by that knowledge of guilt, which is upon every wrongdoing, then we may know of the judgment. We may know that we have to stand before God. We may know that we have to give an answer for everything that we have done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Thus, how do we come to that knowledge of God? There is that book of nature. There is that book, that innate knowledge that is, we would say, for example, the book of our conscience. And yet those means of knowing God, they are now insufficient for us because our mind that has been darkened, our understanding that has become darkened in and through the fall. And thus it was necessary that the Lord give to us another means that we may come to know Him in a saving way. And what is that means? That means is His Holy Word. That is the special revelation of God, of the will of God. Therein He does not reveal everything of Himself, but therein He reveals what He sees fit that His creature should know. And then it does not behoove us that we are trying to delve into those things that the Lord has hidden from us, because man, he is never satisfied. But the Lord, He has revealed unto His creature, and now we speak about that fallen creature, He has revealed unto him in His Word everything that is necessary for him to know, that he may be saved. Everything sufficient for his salvation. Hallowed be thy name. that is, grant us first rightly to know thee. And why do our instructors, they say that word rightly, rightly to know thee, not just to know thee, but rightly to know thee? Well, because there is much knowledge of him, which is not a right knowledge of him. And there is much knowledge of him, not that is, in the outward church, that is still not the saving knowledge of him. It is good, young people, boys and girls, that you fill your minds with the Holy Bible, that you fill your minds, that you learn everything that you can, especially when you are young, that you learn everything that you can, that you fill your mind with the knowledge of God. Why? Because the Lord, He has given that you may be baptized, that you may be instructed under that word. And how is it that the Lord is fulfilling that promise that he will work in the generations? It is through the means of instruction and of learning. Thus, when you are in school, or when you are in catechism class, or when you are at home, then you must ask the Lord if he may give to you wisdom and help you, that you may be able to learn your text, that you may be able to learn your Psalter, that you may be able to learn your catechism questions. Because the Lord, he is using it, the Lord, he is bringing it back in the mind of a person, and he is bringing it home to the heart of a person. But now, until that the Lord, he is bringing it into our heart, it is remaining an insufficient knowledge of God. Reverend Kersten, he calls that historical faith. He said it is like a fake flower. A fake flower is what? It is dead. It has no life in it. It can look so beautiful, but there is no life in it at all. And because there is no life in it, there is also that no scent in it. There is nothing that goes out from it. There is, according to tradition, not the Bible, according to tradition, then they have brought two sets of flowers before King Solomon, and he had to decide which ones were the real ones. And then they have looked so beautiful that he could not tell. And what did he do? He said, open the window. And when the bees, they come in the window, those bees, they are able to tell what are the true flowers and what are the flowers that are dead, that are fake. Thus, those fake flowers, they are bringing forth no fruit. Thus, the Lord, when he instructs his people that they must ask for the knowledge of him, and then he is instructing them to ask for the application of his Spirit, that he may give that word a place not only in our mind, but that he may give that word a place in our heart. And then we begin to do what? Then we begin to hallow that name. Oh, then we begin to give him a small part of that reverence that belongs to him, to his word, to his law, young people. How shall I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Then sin, and that becomes the warfare. Oh, sin that becomes the burden. Then it is not that people are without sin, but that they are grieved because of sin. It was that moment and that the Lord has opened the eyes of that thief on that cross, that he begins to rebuke his fellow, his own mouth, and that had also been mocking. But then he says to him in true conversion, dost not thou fear God? we have to go quickly to our second thought, that is a petition for the right sanctification of his name and to sanctify, glorify, and praise thee in all thy works, in which thy power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed. Sanctify, what is that? To sanctify, that is to declare to be holy. God declares his own name to be holy. God sanctifies his own name. But he will also have that name to be sanctified, that is, by mankind. That is the purpose, the very purpose, that the Lord has created all the creatures, that is, that his name may be sanctified. To sanctify, that means to set apart. That means that that name, that is to be set apart, that is to be given a higher place than every other name. That is not much done in the world in which we live, that the name of the Lord is sanctified. It is rather the opposite, that the name of the Lord is greatly blasphemed, and that the name of the Lord that is trampled under feet. That is also not done so much by the Christian world in which we are living. You say, well, they are always glorifying his name. Wait a moment. Wait a moment. It is good, of course, to sing the praises of the Lord. But when it becomes in our life such a commonplace thing, that there is no difference in using that name of the Lord and using the name of every other man in this world, as so that through all that commonality, all the reverence and all the respect is gone, then we do no longer set apart. We do no longer distinguish. We do not set that name so far above every name, so that when we speak of that name, then we are speaking of that name in a context of reverence and of respect. To set apart. And how is it now with that true church? The Lord, he is teaching his church. We read, grant us to sanctify thee. Thus there is a beginning, but it is a small beginning. Because Paul, he says, to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. To sanctify and praise thee in all thy works, in which thy power, wisdom, goodness, mercy, justice, and truth are clearly displayed. That sanctifying that will be known by every one of God's children. They will learn it here in this world, and yet they will experience that it is something that needs to be given. That it is not coming from their own heart. And therefore the Lord is instructing his children to pray for it. In all thy works. The works of the Lord in nature, they are so very great. The power, the wisdom, the goodness, they are so clearly displayed to us in the works of nature. How that ought to humble us. How it ought to make us to sanctify the name of the Lord. And yet there are those that do study all those works of nature, and they say that there is no God. And they say that all came about just in a moment all by itself. Some foolishness. or that it was evolving from one type unto another type. And thus, when they see all those works of nature that is just doing the opposite, then they do not set aside that name of the Lord. They do not set apart that name of the Lord. But how is it with us? Because we confess different. But what is our life? What is our practice? Then we say it is all made by the Lord. And not only made by the Lord, but His hand that can be seen in the way of providence. In everything, we all believe it. And what is our life? Is our back then still turned unto Him? Or do we then sanctify that name of the Lord? Because it is possible, even in the life of God's children, Jonah, he was swallowed by a fish and vomited out on dry ground. And still, he was angry because of that gourd. Thus, the will of man, that will of man when it is not subject unto the Lord, what a work and that the Lord has to do with that will of man. But Luke, he writes, that when one of them saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice, he glorified God. Who was it? That was that leper, who was not only a leper, but he was at the same time a Samaritan. And you know now what that is, children. A Samaritan leper. He saw what? That he was healed. And when he saw that he was healed, then he turned back again. Question. How do you think that that man ever after in his life has spoken about the name of the Lord? Then I believe that that name in the heart of that man that was ever after revered, that was ever after set apart. Oh, this is now the way, is it not? Not just in the works of nature, but now when the Lord is delivering His people, that He is going to receive His honor, and He is going to receive the hallowing of His own name, that it may be sanctified, that it may be set apart, that it may be glorified, that it may be praised in all His works, in which His power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed. Only look at the children of Israel when they have come over that sea and they are on the other side after all their fear and they see all their enemies and they are dead upon the seashore. Oh, then for a moment, and then they are singing. And they are singing the praises of the Lord. Hallowed be thy name. But then we read here, not only his power and his wisdom and his goodness and his mercy, but also even his justice. His justice. How is that possible? That a man, a fallen man, would glorify when he would magnify the name of the Lord for His justice. How does that happen? Because that justice is that which by which we are condemned. How can a man magnify the name of the Lord through that by which he is condemned? Or in the first place, the Lord is giving to some of His children that they may come to that place where His honor that is so high in their esteem that it means more to them than their own salvation. No, not that they can do without that salvation, but that that honor of the Lord that is standing so in the foreground with desire that His name may be glorified. But now especially, there of course can be no relief to a person who is trying to circumvent the justice of the Lord. Right, children? Because when a thief, he has done wrong, and then he is never giving that back, then how is it inside? You say, well, then he always sits with that. It is always guilt, guilt, guilt. He feels that. Thus, when that justice that is never satisfied, then that man, he is remaining there with his guilt. Thus, there is only one solution for that people, and that is that justice that will be satisfied. And when that justice may be satisfied, then that justice is coming on the side of that people. And then especially, then the Lord, He is, the name of the Lord is being hallowed on account of that justice. That is what that thief saw. And that was the basis of his cry, Lord, remember me. And that was that this man, he has done nothing amiss. That was now the basis. And that man, he may by faith take hold of this. Oh, did the Lord ever show it to your guilty soul that He may make it possible also for you, because His payment that must become precious to us, that it may be a payment not only for that thief and for others, but that it may be a payment that is also made for us, because then our soul that goes out unto Him. Oh, then we see something of that love of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, so that that name of God that is hallowed in its triune being. Let us sing 263:1-2. Unto God our Savior, sing a joyful song. Wondrous are His doings, for His arm is strong. He has brought salvation, He has made it known. And before the nations is His justice shown. 1 and 2 of 263. and further also, that we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, and that thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. That is our last thought, a petition for the right ordering of our lives. And why does the Lord Jesus teach his disciples to pray for the right ordering of their lives? Is that they may earn something by this? No, he does not send them back again to a broken covenant, to a covenant of works. But through conversion, that of course that is the deliverance of a man who is lying under the bondage of sin. But what is now the purpose, the highest purpose of that true conversion? That is the honor and the glory of the Lord. And now what profit is it? We would say, humanly speaking, what profit is it when the Lord would forgive the sins of a man? That is, we would say, not for him, but that is for them. That is true. But the Lord, he is going to receive the honor and the glory. How? That is, in the right ordering of their lives. It is in that new and that holy life. The psalmist, he says, there is forgiveness with thee. But that is not the end. Do you know the rest, boys and girls? There is forgiveness with thee. Why? That thou mayest be feared. That is now the end. That is now the purpose of the Lord. That is to bring that people back unto him again and to set everything back in order. When everything by their sin has been brought to a disorder, and that is not only within that people, but that is also among the nations of the world. Because so the Lord has delivered his people from captivity, he says, not for their sake, but he says for his own namesake. In captivity, that people were mocked, and the Lord, he was mocked too. Because they said, where now is thy God? Sing us one of the songs of Zion. That is what you used to sing. You used to sing to his honor. You used to sing to his praise. And now, sing us one of those songs. Oh, your hope is gone. Your trust is gone. Let the Lord deliver you now from our hands. Now we can read that the Lord, he had pity on them. That was not just for their sake, but that was in a special way for his own namesake. And when they entered into the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. And when they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy namesake, which ye have profaned among the heathen whither ye went, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. that we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. How different than the natural desire of men, which is always for his own name. We think about King Saul, and he said to Samuel, just honor me now. Just honor me now before all of the people. And that is no different with us. And our fathers, they speak here about blaspheme on our account. Name of the Lord, blasphemed on our account. So that is even more. That is, that the name of the Lord would be blasphemed in this world on our account. Do you ever fear that? That is often the fear of God's children. David, we read the Lord said to him that he was the cause that the enemies of the Lord have blasphemed. And so it is also with us in the midst of our walk in this world, when the world will mock with the truth, and when they will mock with the Lord because of us, because of the way that we walk in this world, because we make a certain profession with our mouth, and the world, they are quick to see that there is a discrepancy between our words and our actions, our confession and our walk. And it is all to the mockery of the name of the Lord. Therefore, our lifestyle in this world that has much to do with this petition. Hallowed be thy name. We read it out of God's word. Thou preachest that a man should not steal. Dost thou steal? Thou preachest that a man should not commit adultery. Dost thou commit adultery? The name of God that is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Blasphemed on our account. Of course, if our life that is not according to the life of men in this world, then the world also will mock. Because then we are actually a testimony against the world. But then that is not blasphemed on our account. No. And then that is on the account of the world. But if it is blasphemed on our account, in all the instruction that we have received in our life, then how can the Lord bear with us? How would we bear with our neighbor who is blaspheming or causing our name to be blasphemed in the world? But rather, honored and praised on our account. Is that not something? That is possible, that the name of the Lord would be honored, that the name of the Lord would be praised on our account. That is how we were created. That is how it was in paradise. That was the purpose of our creation. Oh, the depth of our fall. How low that we have come, so that all of the praise and all of the honor and that has come unto God in that creation that has fallen away, so that Satan is mocking, so that Satan is laughing. What a wonder that would be when our life that could be changed, and when that image of God could be restored in us, so that God's name would be honored and praised in this world on our account. That we would truly be in this world as a candle on a candlestick, as a light upon a hill. that His name would be praised within us, that His name would be praised outside of us, that is not affected by us, that is not given by us. The Lord, He is teaching His own children, His own disciples, to pray for this, to ask for this, to say, Lord, grant me this. Grant me what does not lie in me by nature, but that it may, that Thy name may be glorified. Here is congregation, the foundation. You may go home, children. You may go home, and you may lay this now before the Lord, because your mother and your father, they teach you. You must pray, Lord, give me a new heart. You do that, I think. But how is that possible? Because the Lord cannot do that for our sake. He cannot do it just for our sake. But do you know why the Lord is doing it? The Lord is doing it for the honor and the praise of His own name. And now you must go home and you must go on your knees when you say, Lord, if Thou will give me a new heart, oh, then Thy name, it will be honored and it will be praised by me, and it will be praised on my account. Lord, wilt Thou do it? Wilt Thou do it not for my sake, but wilt Thou do it for Thy great and Thy holy name's sake? Hallowed be Thy name. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, forgive all of our many sins, because we are taught so to pray, hallowed be Thy name, but Thou knowest our life. Oh, the desire of our heart is even so different by nature, and so little in the right place after received grace. And then this petition that is so necessary, oh, give us then to hallow Thy name in spirit and in truth. And wilt Thou remember us when we depart from this place again? Bring us safely to our places and look upon us in the week to come. Help each one in their place in this world. And wilt Thou remember us when we meet as a consistory also in catechism classes, in confession class? And wilt Thou remember each and every one? Forgive all our sins and keep us from sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 431, 1, 2, and 5. Unto God our King, joy and strength of Israel, lofty anthems sing. Glorious are His ways. To His name give praise with the harp and timbrel. 1, 2, and 5 of 431. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.